Hello and welcome to the Nutrition Diva Podcast. I'm your host, Monica Reinagle. It's great to be with you today. One of the most effective ways to boost the population of beneficial bacteria in your gut is to eat more prebiotic foods. And prebiotic foods is just a fancy way of describing foods that are high in fiber. Although our bodies cannot extract any nutrition from fiber, the bugs in our gut can. And when we supply more food for them, they thrive. There have been some interesting studies comparing the intestinal population of Westerners with that of rural South Africans. Their typical diet contains about twice as much fiber as the typical American diet and a lot less animal protein and fat. And the composition of their guts is strikingly different as well, with much higher and more diverse populations of health-promoting bacteria. Not surprisingly, these Africans have much lower risks of colorectal cancer and other conditions that are thought to be influenced in part by the population of your gut. But even more interestingly, adopting a diet that's lower in animal fat and protein and higher in plant fiber can very quickly change the composition of your gut flora for the better. And the same is also true in reverse. Switching from a diet that's high in plant fiber to one that's high in animal fat and protein can quickly change the makeup of your intestinal microbiome for the worse. Not ready to give up cheeseburgers just yet? Well, even without cutting down on animal protein and fat, simply adding more plant fiber to your diet can have beneficial effects as well. So, Donna is trying to upgrade her fiber intake from the recommended 25 grams per day to something closer to 40 or 50 grams. However, she's finding it difficult to reach that target without eating too many calories as well. What Donna needs is a way of ranking foods not just by their fiber content, but by their fiber density, or how many grams of fiber they provide per calorie. This approach is similar to ranking foods by their nutrient density or their energy density. Foods with a high nutrient density provide a lot of nutrition for not that many calories, and that's useful if you're trying to lose weight. Foods with a higher energy density, on the other hand, provide a lot of calories in a small amount of food, and that might be useful if you need to take in more calories. I talked a lot more on nutrition and energy density in a previous podcast, and I've included a link to that in our transcript for today, as well as a link to a handy little energy density and nutrient density grid that I put together for you. And you'll find both of those at nutritiondiva.quickanddirtytips.com. But if you're looking to maximize your fiber intake without blowing out your calorie budget, neither energy density or nutrient density quite does the trick. You want to consider foods according to their fiber density, or how much fiber they provide per calorie. You can calculate a food's fiber density by dividing the fiber by the calories. Foods with a higher fiber density are going to provide more fiber for fewer calories. Let me give you an example. A cup of black beans has about 17 grams of fiber and 220 calories. Its fiber density is about 8. A cup of cooked broccoli, on the other hand, only has about 5 grams of fiber, but it also has less than 50 calories, so its fiber density is almost 12. Foods with a higher fiber density will help you increase your fiber intake without taking in too many calories. You can use this quick and dirty calculation to compare any two foods, but I crunched the numbers on a few thousand foods for you. As a rule, legumes are going to give you the most fiber per serving, with anywhere from 12 to 18 grams of fiber per cup. High-fiber cereals, crackers, and breads will also give you a lot of fiber per serving. But because all of these foods are also relatively high in calories, they have single-digit fiber density scores. If it's fiber density you're looking for, then make friends with those leafy greens. Beet, mustard, and turnip greens, chicory, and endive all have fiber density scores of 15 or higher. Next on the list would be kale, berries, broccoli, green beans, and artichokes, all of which have fiber density scores between 10 and 15. As I said, most of the legumes fall between 5 and 10. And meanwhile, nuts, seeds, whole grains and cereals, whatever else they may have going for them, they generally have fiber density scores of less than 3, meaning that you'll have to take in a lot of extra calories to take in much fiber. I put together a table of healthy foods ranked according to their fiber density, and there's a link to that as well in our transcript for today. Although you probably won't see fiber density on nutrition facts labels or diet tracking software anytime soon, remember that you can quickly calculate the fiber density of any food by dividing the fiber grams by the calories. A fiber density score of 10 or higher signals a food that delivers a lot of fiber without many calories. Do you have a nutrition question you'd like me to answer in a future podcast? Send me an email to nutrition@quickanddirtytips.com or stop by the Nutrition Diva Facebook page where I also host regular live Q&A events, and you'll find those listed in our events tab. Thanks for listening today. Have a great week, and remember to eat something good for me.